Hello, and welcome back to Battle Plan, a podcast that's focused on spiritual warfare. I'm Steve Hemphill, and our website is active-faith.org. My email is stevehemphill1@me.com. I'd love to hear from you and hear your stories. Today, we have a special guest. Julia Rose is here. She's an art evangelist and has some really interesting stories in general in life about how God is leading her to help other people draw closer to Him. But we're going to start with she has a story or two pretty interesting that tie directly to what we do with the stake. So, Julie, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Steve. It's so awesome to be here.
Well, glad to have you, and I know your story will really be a positive influence for some people that might bring a unique perspective to what we do. So tell us a little bit about your special stories having to do with the stakes.
Well, so as a new believer, I was saved in early 2021, and I moved here to from Illinois. I like to say I escaped Illinois, and I moved to Southwest Florida just a little over a year after being saved. And I was experiencing, again, as a new believer, I'd heard about spiritual warfare, and I came from a new age background perspective, thinking it was a calling to the light, wrongfully. It's just a well-disguised deception, but I didn't yet know he who saved me. So I move here, and I'm experiencing just a barrage of things going awry, and my tax started pretty much right after I gave my life to Jesus. I was taken advantage of by a company I'd worked for, and I was called into the ministry of arts for the kingdom of God. And when I say that, that still small voice absolutely guided me. I was cringing when my business phone would ring after they defaulted on two contracts with me, and I just said to God, and I just met God. I said, I just can't do anything anymore that I don't absolutely love, because then at least if I don't get paid, I'll have loved doing it. And he said to me, in that still small voice, you love to paint. And I did since a child, but I was waiting till I was retired or some other thing, before I actually pursued what he art. And I said, yeah. He said, paint my son. I was like, that makes sense. So I first got taxed when I started my first painting. It was pretty wild. Got through that, and that birthed the ministry that I now serve, the Ministry of Arts, called Believer Christian Art. And I move here a year later, and I'm experiencing warfare at this home of mine that God's blessed me with here in now Florida. And I heard God telling me to anoint my house. Every painting I was shipping is damaged in shipping. I got rat in my dryer vent. I've got b crazy bug problems. He reminded me of another thing just last night. I don't know, just everything was, oh, both my cars were having problems, just everything. And,
And let me just interject right here. I think you're making a great point that new believers, sometimes in the past, I've kind of heard new believers get taught, okay, now everything's going to be great now that you're a Christian. That is not how it works. You become a target because you just changed from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, and Satan wants you back. So don't let it be a discouraging thing. Let it be a thing of honor that you've been counted worthy to suffer for the kingdom. But I think that's a great point that when you change kingdoms, you're going to be, you just put a target on yourself, and Satan wants you back, and he doesn't want God's kingdom to be enlarged. So that is not uncommon. And I think that should be a big point from spiritual warfare.
that
But
was
go ahead.
back second to the first part of the story, because you're absolutely right, Steve. When I first gave my life to Christ, and I painted my very first Jesus painting when I was locked in my house alone, literally at for Christmas for COVID 20, that was 2021 Christmas, end of that year. So I'd been a believer not quite a year, and around a year, and I didn't start reading the Bible for like 7 months. But anyway, I heard God's voice. I'm locked in for a couple of weeks by myself, and I was not concerned about COVID. I didn't believe that lie, and I had ivermectin and things. Anyway, I was fine. Had friends dropping off food. Did not fear dying at all. But I was attacked in a way that I totally didn't understand. I was so uncomfortable in my own skin. I could hardly breathe, but it wasn't physical. I knew it was spiritual, but I didn't know how to deal with it exactly. I'm
Yeah.
calling the pastor, weeping. I couldn't read the Bible. I couldn't listen to a movie. I couldn't just chill for that week because I was so uncomfortable
Yeah.
sleeping with no open in Chicago in December. And finally, it was a TikTok minister in England helped kind of plant a little seed in my brain about how, God wasn't going to allow more than I could handle, and ultimately glory and my good, or my good and his glory. And it was true. And then as soon as it was about a week that it took me to get through this very intense warfare. And I empathize with people who I've never suffered from any mental anxieties in that, but whoa, it was like a week-long panic attack, I guess. And it
Yeah.
was horrible. But I got through it, and I literally remember saying, "Oh yeah, Satan, that's all you got."
Yeah.
And I locked myself in my place for 2, 3 months, and I painted 17 paintings rapid fire
Wow.
after that, and then birthed the ministry. So back
Wow.
to that, I'm here in Florida, and I started selling paintings for jumping past barriers financially that I didn't even know existed. I didn't know. I remember artist friends saying to me, "Julia, how'd you get your pricing?" I said, "I asked the Holy Spirit."
Yeah.
And he was like, "Why did I think of that?" I'm like, "I don't know."
So he led you into a whole new career through this difficulty that you faced. Also think that's very interesting. Similar to you, I had my own business in 2008 when things were at its worst. I walked away from that to do what I'm doing now. And like you said, there's a definite feeling that you're right where God wants you. You can't describe that for people, but it also doesn't mean it's going to be immediately easy financially. There's going to be some obstacles. So tell me, jump back to the part of the story you were going to anoint your house. What led you to that decision?
So I jumped past some financial hurdles, but then when I moved here, one of the things happened, my sales went completely flat.
Yeah.
And I kept saying to God, "Okay, I know you love me more than the sparrows, God. Where are
Yeah.
you? What am I still in your will, God? Is this your will for me to do this?"
Yeah.
And I kept hearing, "Yes, keep continue." And I was like, "Whew, okay, retirement funds are dwindling." And then all these very annoying, more than annoying, things were happening, attacking every part of my life, my
Yeah.
livelihood, my comfort, my peace, my joy. And those are weapons, peace and joy.
Yeah.
And so I felt led to anoint my home. And I was like, "Well, where do I get oil? I'm so new, I don't know how to do this stuff." And I was led to Exodus 30. I made my own oil and I bought the best ingredients I could. I'm kind of a little extra when I do things.
Yeah.
And I made a little glass jar of goat over there that I carved on the top, Exodus 30 and whatever. And I prayerfully, I fasted and I made this thing. And I was led to invite two people, two women. I'm new here. I hardly know anybody, but I had two sisters in Christ. Now they're very dear friends of mine. One's my spiritual mom, and the other's I'll be doing ministry with the other. They're both named D. And the one D is I do ladies ministry with her on Wednesday nights. And the other one's my spiritual mom now. But I hardly knew them there. They hardly knew me. And then I start making this oil, and I'm thinking, whoa, I'm tarrying and weeping and praying and doing gymnastics. And I think, whoa, I'm doing a lot for this little jar. I should make another jar. My brilliant thinking. I start pouring and I hear in the spirit, "Don't do that. Don't do that." No, he says, "Just the one, and you'll always have enough," because I wanted to share it with others. And I felt very led not to sell that because it, especially the Exodus 30 recipe, it's very holy,
Yeah.
and I treat it, with reverence. But I do give it away, as I'm led to. But one of the things that happened in between that time is I ran across one of your videos and your testimony about the stakes. And since I was dealing with a property, that really resonated with me, your story and your testimony. And so I bought, more than enough for my property. And I shared some with others, but I had those stakes ready. And I, again, being kind of extra, I love that you have the molds and the scripture right on there, but I want an extra scripture.
Yeah.
I wrote out a few pages of scripture that applied to my situation and what I felt I needed.
Perfect. That's great.
wrote those in indelible marker on the stakes as well, right? Steaks ready. I got my oil ready. I made milk and honey soap. I invite my friends over. I have a little water spigot, outdoor shower thing there with the foot thing. And I'm going to wash their feet, before we begin. And I was going to do, I did a jerk. I was going to do a Jericho march with them around my place as we were staking it and that. And, but I wanted to wash their feet, beforehand too. And the one, the older woman shows up first and we're talking. I'm out there washing her feet and I get a message from the other Dolores. And this is how hilarious warfare is. To me, it's hilarious. Because the enemy, he has no power over us when we understand our authority in God. So thank God my two sisters in Christ that I invited, who I was led to invite them specifically, and just the two, because first I heard two. I'm like, okay, which two? And he highlighted to me who. And hardly knew them. The one comes over, and the other one was running late. And I just talked to my text, and I'm make the mistake often. If you ever get a weird text from me, Steve, please forgive me. It's, my impatience with the
Okay.
devices. I hit send before looking at what I said. It's something like, oh, just, don't worry about it. Let yourself in. We'll be, in the back. And she shows up. Julia, do you know what you said to me? Well, something like, da 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 da. She shows me her phone. And it was a let's how can I say this? It had the F-bomb in there. Yeah, it was like, yeah, I said the F-U to her in my text. I'm like, wow, I'm shocked you showed up, but thankfully, and she was a spirit-led woman as well, and she knew that I would, something was not right with that message, and
Even in
so.
small ways, Satan's trying to thwart our
Oh
plans
yeah,
and efforts to honor God.
I did it all. So we started out back here, and I remember in your story being that it was difficult sometimes to get those stakes in, and I did experience that. I was I maybe I don't know. I don't know if I chose places by roots, and I tried not to do that and that, but and I particularly in the back there, it was really hard, in my property. I'm in a condo, so like I had to kind of square up my territory. I didn't want to overreach and go try to take dominion that God hasn't given to me. But I also wanted to cover it all, and cover my vehicles and stuff out there. So we started doing that and they came with me. I pounded the stakes as they came and we prayed together and we were reading the scripture that I had prepared and coming into agreement. And that day, I'll share a little bit something kind of unusual that happened. I honestly still don't 100% know what to make of this, but we were praying and I was kind of down on my knees and they were laying hands on me as we were reading this scripture together and stuff. And then my spiritual mom, the older lady, collapsed in a chair right over there. And we didn't call 911, with the other lady and I called Jesus. We literally instinctively, my hand, Steve, was pressed against her chest. She's 84 now. So she was 81. And I pressed my hand against her chest to hold her up because she was completely not breathing and just slumping over, And I'm pressing my hand on her as we're just crying out to God. And all of a sudden, she took a breath and she was back. Yeah. So,
Wow.
yeah, I don't have any explanation for that. We haven't really talked about that too much, the three of us. The other lady and I acknowledged that she was not there. The one who collapsed, she's not so sure because I don't know, but it definitely even during the thing. Oh, one other thing, just for your audience, that when I asked God before I went to sleep, because again, I'm doing this gymnastics of praying and fast, everything I could think of being a new believer and a wonderful stakes. And I said, God, is there anything I'm not doing that I should be doing or, doing that I shouldn't be doing? And I heard his voice say, are you tithing? And again, as an artist, you just never know when your next check is coming, so it's challenging. And I'm not awesome at math, but I was always doing my best, but not like an amount every week. You know, it was kind of, I think I was, but I wasn't totally sure. So he puts a number in my head, and before I went to sleep, I know we don't all like the tithing message, myself included. You know, it can feel, because it can be manipulated, but it is a promise from God, and it is something I would encourage your audience to test God on, because this is one place He does tell us to test Him,
100%.
and
100%.
He's faithful. Since I did that, not only I just don't even think about, you know, my account and stuff like that. The money's always there to pay the church, and then I added a second church, and rather than deducting the amount that God told me, I just doubled it. You know, and you can't outgive God. You know, He keeps pouring into my life, you know, and He used somebody, you know, like me, who was far from Him, the only Christian I knew. Think about this the other day. I lived in a very secular world, and by worldly standards, I didn't live in debauchery. But by God's standards, yeah, I was a wretched sinner. And I didn't know, and I knew a lot of people. I've always been social. I only knew one true believer in my life. I knew, you know, some CEOs, some people that, you know, they would go to church and say, "Oh yeah, I go to this Presbyterian church, or I go to this Catholic church," or, you know, people. But nobody ever that I recall talked about God, specifically talked about Jesus, in my whole sphere of people that I knew, my entirety, except one, which was my hairstylist, and I knew she was a born again believer. So when I didn't tell you the first part of my testimony, but when I was led to God, and God told me to get baptized before I knew Jesus, and I was like, "Well, all right, I'll get dunked in water." Tried to argue at first, and sure, why not? I don't know about these. I was witnessing being attacked by the president, being attacked by Satan worshipers, and then they started attacking me, and I did not even know that existed. I didn't like scary movies. I stayed away from them. They felt not nice to my spirit. But yeah, I experienced them firsthand, and I didn't know what that was. And I just said out loud once, "Well, I don't know about y'all Satan worshipers, but I am not for that. I want to declare my team." And that still small voice I thought was my conscience, but I now know to be the Holy Spirit, said, "Get water baptized." And I'd heard of that, and I heard about born again believers that thought they were kind of weirdos, maybe charming, but strange. And that was definitely not for me, is what I thought. You know, so
So you
I
got
first
baptized.
wanted to dismiss it. I was like, "Well, I was kind of Catholic-ish. I have the certificate, didn't go to church or anything, didn't participate, but I got the certificate when I was a baby." And this was insistence. I'm like, "You know what? It's not gonna hurt me. All right, cool, because like I'm not down with this, so I
That's
will do that."
awesome. Let
And so I
me interrupt you again, because you've also done some things a lot of people don't think about, and I want to point it out. You did some things that we call extras or weapons. You asked God, is there anything I'm doing that I shouldn't be doing, or anything I'm not doing I should, and it led you to tithing. Tithing is on our list of weapons. You heard the still small voice telling you to get baptized. Satan doesn't want you to get baptized because baptism is a declaration of war. You're showing the world whose side you're on, and it's also an act of obedience, and it follows Jesus. He was also baptized. Also, you washed feet of the people that were helped. You invited witnesses. The Bible talks about two witnesses. They were laying hands on you. That's prayer plus touch as you were praying at the corner. You did a Jericho walk. You talked about it. See, many of these things are part of the prayer plus action syndrome that many, many people overlook. And I know you were led to some of them without me, and then some of them you've
Oh,
thought about
some of those I definitely, yeah, because I listened to
because
your
of
video,
me. So
like I said,
I'm,
just before, as I was preparing to
yeah.
do this. I'm sure, I heard some of your suggestions there, and like I said, I'm always kind of I like to
Yeah.
overachieve, so
And
this was.
we recommend other verses or issues on the stakes, and you also did that. So, and there's even some more things I didn't mention in that list, but that's a tremendous list of, and it shows your depth of commitment to the King of Kings and wanting to do everything that can help you draw closer to him and protect you from the enemy. So all those I compliment you, sir. So you even had attack during the actual staking where she this spiritual mother of yours was attacked and was there was no breath for a few minutes for a period of time, and then y'all
Was,
focused on
I
her.
don't really know how long it was because we were in a little, I don't know. But it remember at the time thinking it was like 10 minutes, but I don't know that it could have been that long. I might have about it or said something about it somewhere, but I don't remember now. Now it feels like it was seconds, but I know it was minutes at least. It's
So
too long.
how did things change once
Oh,
you?
an ambulance. It was like the farthest thing, at least from my mind. Or the other one,
That's
but
powerful.
it's
So how
amazing.
did it go after you staked the house? What it had anything?
No more crazy rats. No more. I was catching serpents. I was catching rats. I was catching all kinds of crazy critters, and like I said, a lot of different attacks. And yes, they did stop. But then I did notice some stuff kind of happening again, and that's when I put a second order in not too long ago for steaks because I'd given away all that I had, and I also was missing one. I got to tell you about my art shows where I started using them there just this year. I hadn't thought of it, I thought, okay, I stake my house, good, but anyway, that I was missing some steaks, and I restaked, and this time they went in smooth, every one of them, bam, bam. Bam, bam. I don't know like what that means that they were so easy when they were so hard the first time, but I was missing stakes. Like one, I couldn't get in all the way back in the back, and I think maybe the landscapers took it. I don't know. And I couldn't find the one up front. So I restaked it just in case. And you know what? Three, all of my neighbors around me have moved out. So crazy. I don't know what's to make of that either.
See, that's
The
interesting you bring that up.
didn't have one. The
Because
neighbor,
many
the one beside me, and two over and up, but they all moved.
we've seen that happen often where when you stake a piece of land, if the enemy or people for not on God's side are bordering it, they want to get away from it. So that's also very common. Also, we also recommend restaking areas when you have new issues come up, or if you were doing a school, for example, the next year you have new principals, new teachers, new kids. It's good to make this an annual thing. It's never a one and done thing. And often also another issue that comes up, but we have things in our possession or in our lives that are given to us that changed the spiritual atmosphere because we didn't realize there was an evil connection to this item that we brought in the house or a souvenir we brought on a trip. So those kind of things can happen too. But anyway, go ahead with what with your art.
Gifts. I've got stories about gifts I've received. My one pastor, I have two different pastors, and one is a much smaller church. I mentioned the bigger one. That's more focused on spiritual warfare. And he was it would he, I remember hearing from him to question when somebody comes into your life, A, who sent them? Ask God who sent you. They're either sent by God or not. And also to be very wary of gifts. And I have a mark on my hand from one gift, but I have another that's more kind of related to the, stake story where, yeah, this guy, I stupidly brought this booklet this guy gifted me who's, trying to helping me at an art show and an older gentleman. And he knew, I mean, I paint Jesus, my whole art booth, I do art shows here in Southwest Florida, and my entire booth is Jesus. Behind me, you can't. This is one called the Alpha and the Betas behind me. But
Beautiful.
thank you. But everything's Jesus. So the guy knows what my faith is about. I'm very bold about my faith. And I was in a Catholic community near here called Ave Maria. I just assumed the majority of people that live there are believers. And actually I was humbled over there. I thought, oh geez, am I gonna, because some of the beliefs that and I don't mean to disparage other believers in any way, but there are some things that some Catholics believe where it becomes a little bit of idolatry to other saints other than Jesus. I don't believe in anything other than Jesus first, and I believe in elect relationship with Jesus.
Right,
So
right.
even if it's not specifically in the Bible, I'm like Bible only. That's I just can't afford to take
I'm with
any,
you. I'm with you on that.
risks otherwise. And it's not a matter of salvation, necessarily. I just think it can invite a lot of issues and warfare in your life when you take on other idols and things. So
Yeah.
anyway, so I was thinking maybe I was going to be witnessing these people. God humbled me though, because this community there is really lovely. I went in their church a few times, and God had me praying for them, that he said to me, I remember, Julia, look at their, I think the word was devotion to me. Most of the families that lived in this community were so devoted to God, and they
Yes.
went to church every day, and
Yeah.
their children went to the church, and they had many children, which we need to do here more, and so he was, I'm kind of, wow, yeah, God, they are really devoted to you. He said, pray that they receive my power, my spirit. I was like, oh yeah, that's, if that church community or that beautiful community receives, opens their eyes to the immense glory and power that they can receive through truly, following God's Holy Spirit, wow, that community is going to be
And
unstoppable.
many are missing that. Many, many are missing that. Okay, go back to the stakes and your booth and everything. Tell me about that.
So this year I had new levels of attack. I got thrown out of national art shows with police presence, and I've never had the police called on me before in my life, so it was a little unnerving, and it was warfare, and it's a long story in itself, so I'll just cut to the chase about the stake scriptures. I was just getting attacked all the time. I mean, cursed at constantly, like every show. I'd be texting my prayer warriors, okay, I need extra covering today, because that's what God would lead me to do, to get the ecclesia
Yeah.
to help cover me in prayer. And when I got thrown out of the first art show, I got thrown out of a church, even art show, with my Jesus paintings. It's nuts. So I refused to take down certain paintings that they didn't like. I have a whole collection, for instance, called Claiming God's Rainbow Back. And some of the rainbow churches, which I do not believe with, and I'm sorry if your audience belongs to any of those, that is a foul deception, and
Yes.
I gotta
Yes.
be bold about that. So they threw me out of different shows, and the first one was vicious, and it was crazy. And I remember when I woke up the next day and my website's going exploding, I thought, wow, I've got a lot of web traffic today. And God said, oh no, this is not a good thing. Get on your knees. This is warfare. I'm like, what? Oh
Yeah.
my God. Okay. And it was the web traffic was because one of my accusers encouraged 11,000 artists around the country to attack me, go on my website, check my schedule, start calling all the art directors of the shows I was scheduled for in advance to get me thrown out before
Cancel.
I go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, they wanted me canceled. But God has other plans. So, but I had to war. I mean, that was nuts.
Wow.
Then my first show after I got thrown out of my first show, and I got thrown out of more then, but I was just freaking out. My flesh couldn't keep up with my faith,
Yeah.
My flesh and faith were just in a warfare of like, oh, my flesh is really hating all this hate. I don't like this God. And he had me just listening to some. So that happens on Sunday, right? And then all weekend being attacked. I remember being in my ladies' Bible study where I couldn't even focus on what we were doing. And we were in the book of Romans, and the handout goes by, and I hear God tell me something, and I write it down. And then we start the lesson. I go, wait, what did I write down? And it was all about the faith of Abraham. And I wrote down new level of faith and trust.
Yeah.
That's what happened through all this attacks I've been through this year. God just leveled up my faith and trust in him. And it wasn't fun. It wasn't easy. It was, to my flesh, very terrifying to be
Yeah.
canceled, livelihood. I'm going, oh my gosh, this is the majority of my livelihood. They're throwing me out of all the major, I've been thrown out of all the major shows in my area. Although God replaced one of the directors recently. And so I heading to the, so I see what I wrote down, and that gave me a little encouragement, and some other things happened. So I drove 4.5 hours to my next show that weekend on a Friday to set up. I did not even know if I was going to be able to set up because other friends had screenshotted to me that I had haters there and they'd already talked to the directors. You drive and they're just gonna be like, oh, you're not setting up today. So my flesh is just freaking out, and I'm listening to Psalms the whole way, and I just kept repeating to myself, you know, the joy of the Lord is my strength, and the battle belongs to the Lord. And those two scripture, I just kept repeating and repeating and repeating, so that my fear, my faith would catch up with my fear. And even though I knew them, my, you know, it was a battle. And pull up in my big van that I move all the art and equipment in, and normally you have to get out and check in at some tent and show your ID and all this. But somebody approaches my vehicle before I'm even out of it. And what's your name? And I'm thinking, oh, brother, here we go. You know? And I tell her my name, and she says, oh, she's like, I've got your envelope here. She had a handful of them in her hand. She goes, what do you do? I said, I paint Jesus. So, no way. She said, our community's going through, it was Tarpon Springs. She said, Tarpon Springs got so much witchcraft here. Please pray for us. And I, you know, some people will mention warfare a little bit, but this town, I had at least more than a handful of people tell me about the witchcraft in that town. And that's on you. That doesn't happen. That some just random would be talking about that like that. And I thought, wow, God. Oh, because she goes, oh, I plead the blood of Jesus over you. Because I said, well, I'm going through some warfare too, you know? She asked me to pray for a town. I said, oh, I understand. Yeah. I plead blood of Jesus over you. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, wow, God, you are so cool. So here I am freaking out. And not, oh, and he totally prepared the way before me. You know, his word is so true. And I brought stakes with me on that trip wisely. And so I did. I had haters there. They did try and get me thrown out, but both directors went out of their way to come up to me and tell me it was a man and a woman, not together, but it was a community event rather than an art community event. It was for that town by their chambers. And they both came up like, oh, you know, we heard the noise, but you are welcome here. You're not going to have any problem, and we want you here, and blah, blah, blah. And they were very welcoming, which was such a relief. And I wound up, the lady who pled the blood of Jesus over me, who I just met, she says, hey, call me when you're done setting up. I wound up staying at her home that weekend. I was going to stay in my van, and we're friends now. Yeah. And I baptized a friend of hers on the weekend, and it was an awesome weekend. I got to give my Bible away, and
So
I gave away.
you felt a whole difference in your booth as you surrounded it with scripture in
Well,
its ways.
yeah, not just a little difference. I mean, this was so cool, Steve. So at first, this was one of the tightest setups for a show where literally the only a sidewalk separated the next booth across the way. So very tight for people to have conversations in that. Well, the person next to me didn't show up, so I had a whole space next to me. Yay, that was awesome. But right across from me was somebody, an older woman who did beautiful pottery, very talented, but she hated my artwork, and she tried to get me kicked out too, and it didn't work. And yet, I know the Holy Spirit used me to witness to her. I don't know where she is right now, but a lot of things happened. I had a young man who was non-communicative, autistic, praying over me right in front of her, where I had to get my face literally in the dirt for him to lay. They said, oh, he wants to lay hands on you. I'm like, all right, awesome. Prayer, one of the fiercest prayer warriors who didn't speak laid hands on me. I'm telling you, the power of this kid. But before that happened, so I'd staked my tent at first really tight, you know, right on the corners of my tent, and I did a Jericho march, and I anointed it with oil and all that. And I'm watching, and it was so cool. The people next to me, like watching me do laps around the thing and all this. Well, people were, they stayed out of my booth, but they were coming right up to my art and barking at me and stuff. I don't like this. I'm gonna move these stakes. I'm claiming that ground that God gave me next to me that was empty. The next day, I'll move those stakes out. I swear they stayed on the sidewalk, but they never broke the barrier to come up to the side like they were the day before. They
Yeah,
didn't. And
that
after
is amazing.
every show, and even like I remember at this big park where I had a big space and it was kind of under trees and rambly, I kind of random put the sticks, but I put them pretty far out because I had a lot of room. These people, I remember pointing out to somebody, I go, watch this, because I saw a guy kind of growling at my art from a distance. And I was at the opposite end. I go, look at that. Isn't that fascinating? That guy, I have a stake right over there. And he goes, rather than taking the kind of more immediate path back to the sidewalk, he did not go inside these stakes, went like outside around. It was so cool.
Yeah.
The kind of shook me. So I was getting a lot of confidence in, in the staking thing. But one time towards the end of this season, which ends in April-ish here, and it was one of my later shows, and I was feeling pretty good about the stakes. People would come around me, but they wouldn't go in my booth and harass me. And I was harassed that day, definitely from a distance, though. But I'm inside my booth, and I'm taking payment, for some artwork. And there's a man that had entered with his wife, and he starts talking about, one of my works in a disparaging way. And actually, it was one of Jesus praying over the president, where the president has his head bowed and he's in a position of submission, and Jesus is got prayer hands over him, interceding for his behalf. Which, whether you like him or not, we are supposed to pray for our governance, and
Yes.
I pray that governance that is led by God.
Yeah.
And so he was all, I can't even remember now what he said to me, but he was kind of, I said, and I turned to him, and he was like this close. He was right next to me as I was dealing with these people here and looking in my print bins. It was, his wife was looking at my print bins. He just like pointed at this one and said some ugly things. And I just was like, well, and I responded with some scripture. And I think I quoted Isaiah about, and on his shoulders rests the governance and something. And anyway, I was really shaken. Like my hands started shaking because I was so freaked out that I'm like, how did he get in here, God? Because when I put those stakes down, I imagine a heaven's angels, boom, boom, mount. I'm like mountain
Yeah.
warriors on those corners, and they're fierce. They're like, yeah, not today,
Yeah.
not getting past this. So I was really shaken by that. But and maybe you can explain this. I clearly, nobody knows everything about spiritual warfare, but I felt he was given access somehow because he came with his wife in. I think that was how he got in. But I wound up, actually, I calmed down because the people that I was selling to, they noticed like I was all of a sudden like, whoa, shaking hands like this. And they're like, are you okay? And they start,
Yeah.
praying with. And I know even in that, God used me to witness this man, because his wife wasn't super thrilled with how he behaved. But, and I turned back to him, I remember, after we finished praying, just said something, to the effect of, look, I showed him love. I can't remember how we closed it, but I no longer feared him and that he had come in. But it did feel like a defilement at first. It felt like, oh,
Yeah.
defiling my face. How did this happen? Because it
Yeah,
hadn't.
let me speak to that as we wind the podcast down, because you're the kind of person that you just make a list, and we need to have you on every few months and say what's the newest things going on.
Oh
Because
gosh,
here, see, I think you're on the front line with what you're doing. You're painting Jesus as you described it. You're taking the rainbow back. This is a frontline thing, because the art industry is trying to lead people away from God in general, and you're swimming against the tide. So I'd love to hear more from you in the future. But let me speak to what you just brought up, because this is a common question we get at the ministry. I believe what you described tells me that the wife was more of a believer than he was, and that he wasn't fully committed to the enemy. He was not for Jesus yet, but he was, I guess you'd say there's a chance he could be converted someday. And so then you mentioned I got to witness to him. He may never forget that. You may be the catalyst that brings him over to the Jesus side. When you get to heaven, you may see him again. Or you might have been his last chance before he said no to Jesus permanently. We won't know until time is over. But thank you for being with us today. And we've kind of gone longer than we usually do on my podcast because we're kind of a short and sweet thing. But you had such great stories. I didn't want to cut you off. But keep a list because we might need to have you back every quarter or something and do some more.
I've got lots. Almost every day is an adventure.
And I want to pray for you before we hang up, and because you're on, I think, on the front lines. So, dear God, I pray you'd make a special blessing for Julia and her artist work and for her kingdom work for you, how she's making a difference in the world around her for you, for the kingdom. She's the fragrance and aroma of Jesus. Help her at these art shows to see even more amazing things happen that reveal the people on our side and the people on the enemy side. It seems easier and easier for that to be revealed when we do this process of staking. Thank you for her commitment to you, her desire to do war for the kingdom, to be in the trenches on the front line of this in many, many ways. I pray you'd bless her sails and her hand and guide her as she picks other things to paint, to honor you and the kingdom, and help it to sell for higher and higher prices, and keep reminding her that tithing is still important, even though it's not a command like it was in the Old Testament. Jesus never lowered the bar; he always raised the bar. Thank you for her love for you in general, and Father, bless our ministry too, and help us to continue to be able to reach out to people and share these stories that make a difference in their daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So
Amen.
thank
Thank
you
you.
so much for being a part of this. Thank you for sharing some of your stories today. We hope you have it back on the show at some time in the future, and bless you. And for you listeners, let me remind you before we sign off to keep praying, because prayer works. God loves you, and I love you. Have a great day.